Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I am thrilled to be inside the historic Town of Shenandoah Museum with Laura Jenkins. She is the museum's curator and the events coordinator for the town. This museum houses an impressive collection celebrating the town's rich history from its N&W Railroad routes to the USS Shenandoah memorabilia. Whether you're a train enthusiast, history buff, or just curious about local heritage, this museum offers something for everyone. We'll dive into the museum's origin story, its fascinating historic exhibits that may surprise you, and the upcoming December holiday events that make this season extra special in Shenandoah. Welcome to the show, Laura. It's great to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is so exciting. I do have so many questions for you. This has really just been open for a couple of years.
Yes, only 2 years.
I know. So what I want to get into is talk to me about the vision of this super charming historic museum here in the town of Shenandoah.
Yeah. It's funny how you use the word vision because the town of Shenandoah actually had a vision team. And they started in 2016, and they about what they would want to see, you know, for this town. And one of the things that came from this vision team was a museum for the town. And so it just, you know, from 2016, it just gained momentum. They even bought a plat of land to have a brand new museum.
Wow.
And then they got into meeting with the architects and found out that it was going to cost like $500,000 to build this museum. So they tabled it. And then in 2021, all the localities in Virginia, they received the American Rescue Plan Act funds or COVID money.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, we actually had the money to start the museum. And the town council voted and decided to use a portion of that American Rescue Plan Act money to buy this building and to have the museum here.
Yeah, this building has some history of its own. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this is a 100-year-old building.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was built in 1924. It was a mill. It was the home of the Shenandoah Milling Company.
Okay.
And it was, everyone asks when they come in here, was this a railroad building? And I'm like, no, it wasn't a railroad building, but it was built because of the railroad.
Okay, yeah, it does kind of look like a little depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we actually still do have our depot, which is right beside us, but that's completely off limits. That's the Norfolk and Southern offices, so you're not allowed to go there, but you can come in here and see it from afar.
Yeah, you want to park in this parking lot versus next to the train tracks.
Yeah, no trespassing on Norfolk Southern property, please.
How long did it take to get this together once that decision was made? 2021, so seems not too long.
Not long at all. So I was working in town hall. I used to be the town clerk, and in town hall there was a small room that we had some of the items already because, you know, once in 2016, people found out, you know, that was a vision. They started donating things. So we dedicated a room in town hall for some of the things that they donated. So once we got the American Rescue Plan Act money, we came into this building and it was already, as you see, the town had to do very little.
Yeah, looks great.
Yeah, so really all I had to do was I boxed up everything that was in town hall. And we had another curator before me.
Okay.
And then she did all of the legwork, putting things out and getting things displayed. And so she started that in February, and then by June, we were open, ready for the public.
Wow. That was pretty fast.
Yeah.
Oh, that was excitement. I bet there was a lot of excitement in town for that.
Yeah, definitely. There's so many people that in here in town that enjoy this. And actually, we have regulars from the town that come, if not every day, then, you know, most days here at the museum.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I love my regulars.
I think that's great. What are they from this area? Do you think that's the biggest curiosity for them?
Yeah, I think, they're my regulars are from the town of Shenandoah. So it's a great space in here. Lots of, you know, tables and chairs and for people just to gather. And, you know, it's like a nice little meeting space, a little community gathering area.
I love that. What are some of the most unique and popular items that visitors can find when they visit here?
The most popular is definitely this train that's behind you.
Okay, yeah. You can see that if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, this is a replica that was made by John Harmon from Grottoes. And so as soon as you come in, that's like one of the first things you see. And people are like, wow, you know, they love it and they love to take pictures with it.
That is super cute.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I mean, he's very talented, you know, to make that. And so that's probably a really popular piece. We also have a model train in another room that a lot of people like for us to, you know, turn on so they can see the little model train. We have, you know, a lot of the people that come here are railroad enthusiasts, so we have a lot of railroad memorabilia for them to look at. So we have that. The military room gets a lot of attention as well.
I can see that. And you have a timeline that you can't see in the frame right now, but it's behind you. Can you tell us more about what's on the timeline?
So the timeline is all about the history of the town of Shenandoah. So basically, it even goes prior to that, to the, you know, when the first settlers came into the Shenandoah Valley, and then, you know, jumps into when, you know, the town of Shenandoah actually started having, you know, settlers here and all the way up to about, and I had to end it at 2023 because that's when I had it made.
So all the way through then. This is a historic area in general. I was learning about that and preparing for this interview today, but I'm not the curator, so I'm going to let you share with us what the history of this town is.
Sure. So but the town really got its first roots back in the 1830s. Two brothers came here, Daniel Forer and Henry Forer. And they wanted to have an iron, you know, build an iron empire. And this area has loads of iron ore. There actually used to be 6 iron ore mines just in this area, Elkton, Shenandoah. So they knew that this was a good spot. And they found a friend, Samuel Gibbons, who actually owned land here already. And they partnered, the three of them partnered together, and they set up the first iron industry here on the Shenandoah River. And then they built 2 more iron, iron furnaces. So we had 3 at one time that these brothers had built. You can, it's actually interesting. One of them called Catherine's Furnace. You can go into the national forest and you can see remnants of it, but the others, they're gone.
Okay.
Gone to history. But so the brothers, they continued the iron furnace, and they supplied, you know, Civil War Confederate troops with their iron. And they would make a lot of pig iron and send it. And the pig iron would be like sent to Harper's Ferry where the armory was. And then they would make the weapons and out of the pig iron from here, from the town of Shenandoah. Of course, back then it wasn't a town. It hadn't been incorporated. So jump ahead. Mr. Milnes came from Pennsylvania. He bought all the iron mines and the iron furnaces from the brothers and Samuel Gibbons. And he continued, continued with the industry. Civil War had long gone. Mm-hmm. So now he was, iron was like key to everything. You know, this mm-hmm. was before steel. This was before aluminum. So he actually wanted to build a bigger, more efficient furnace. Mm-hmm. But he realized that he needed the railroad. Right. In order to, not to be greedy, but to be greedy, for him to get the products out.
To build his business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because before then, this is interesting too, everything, because the roads, we did terrible roads. We didn't have the roads. Everything was floated north on the Shenandoah River to Harper's Ferry. And so they would make the boats here. They'd load up the iron ore, or the iron actually by that time, because the furnaces, turned the iron ore into iron, and they would just float everything up. And then, because that was the closest railroad at the time, it was the B&O railroad mm-hmm. at Harper's Ferry. So after that, Mr. Milnes was like, well, we need to, get more in with the times. Let's start with the railroad. So he was instrumental in bringing the Shenandoah Valley Railroad through here.
Oh, wow.
And then because of that, he closed down the three original iron furnaces, and then he built a brand new furnace in 1883. And we call that the Big Jim Furnace. Of course, that doesn't exist anymore either, but we do have a park that we call Big Jim Park. And that's where the furnace actually used to be. And it was more efficient. It was the fourth largest producing iron furnace in Virginia at the time. Mm-hmm. And of course, he utilizes the railroad and was able just to get it out quicker. And that's really the story of how the railroad came. It was really because of iron than anything. And he was very, very instrumental in making sure that it was here in Shenandoah.
Now it's NNW, and their office is next door.
Right. Oh, well, it started out Shenandoah Valley Railroad.
Okay.
Then that was purchased by the NNW Railroad, mm-hmm. and then NNW was purchased by Norfolk Southern. So,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we did have a railroad conductor on our podcast early on with 47 years of experience.
Wow. Neat. Yeah.
On trains. And he did share some of that history because he's from the Shenandoah, or moved to the Shenandoah Valley to do that. So,
wow.
Yeah. That was a really good podcast. You can check that out too, because then some of that history I think would be very fascinating in coming to your museum and learning more about.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to. I tried to do programs here every month, and I would love to have someone from the railroad.
I will definitely connect you.
Yeah, I'd love to have them come here and talk and tell about their stories.
Yeah, he's got some great stories.
Yeah, I bet.
See, we're just out here helping each other, laughers. That's what we're doing. Are you from here?
Yes, I was born and raised in Luray.
Okay.
My mother actually is from the town of Shenandoah. She was born and raised here.
So there's something very personal in this work for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, are any of your family members highlighted in this museum anywhere?
Yeah, one of my grandfathers, actually, great-grandfather, he worked here in the Shenandoah Yard.
All right.
I do have some family connection with the railroad as well.
Well, that is actually very special. I love that. With some military history room, you've talked about that before. Can you tell us more about your World War One and Two uniforms you have in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, World War One uniforms are probably a little harder to come by. So it was, we have one from Patrick Henry Reinecke.
Okay.
And it's in mint condition. Of course, he's passed away. His family has, donated those items. So we have his uniform. Then we have his son's uniform. He was in the Korean War. So that's kind of neat to have the father and son connection. Yeah. And then we have a World War II naval uniform that was donated as well to our museum.
Okay. And these are individuals from the town of Shenandoah.
Yeah. I only like to accept items that are, you know, town of Shenandoah related. You know, there's people that want to donate things from Elkton or Luray, but I'm like, no, really the focus needs to be the town of Shenandoah. So what you see here are things that people who've lived here in the town, and, you know, their families that continue to live here, what they've donated.
Okay. What's the most interesting item that's been donated to this museum?
Well, I think you want to hit upon it anyway, but yes. This, we have a seating chart, and it's over there. you got to come to the museum. but this seating chart, was from the, House and the Senate, and it was governors, when they would go to the Pentagon, and you'll see like there's a tiny little pinhole on them. They would put them on the back of the chairs so that when they would go to the Pentagon, they would know where to sit. And it has their photo and, you know, what state they're from. And the connection to that, the lady who used to live here in the town, her name was Tenny Smith. Mm-hmm. She lived here and moved to Maryland. And then she worked for the Pentagon, and that was one of her jobs was to do the seating chart for the Pentagon. And normally I would say that they were probably forced to throw them away or burn them.
Yeah.
But she kept this, and this was from 1958. Okay. She kept them, and her children said they kind of like played with them, you know, kind of like little playing cards.
Yeah.
So when, you know, of course she's passed away, but her son was able to donate those to the museum. I think that is probably the most unique thing that we do have. And I think I've said before on the video, the Smithsonian wouldn't have anything like that.
No, they wouldn't. And there's a historical figure in the seating chart that you mentioned.
Yes.
On your other informational video, but I bet a lot of laughers haven't seen that one yet. So what historical figure is on there?
Yeah, the most famous one is John F. Kennedy Jr., mm-hmm. A very young looking John F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a pretty incredible thing. I was like, we are going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And so 1958 is the year of the House and Senate pictures,
right,
of the seating chart you're talking about. That's pretty amazing. You also have the genealogy resources here. Do you have visitors that come and take advantage of that to figure out their roots?
Yeah, absolutely. I have several people that like to come back. We call it our library room. And I have several Valley genealogy, you know, books. And I always want more. So if anybody has any, you know, Shenandoah Valley, historic family names, I'll take them. But yeah, they come back here and they can do their research. And I help them out too. I have an Ancestry account and I can, you know, help them with some of the genealogy research as well.
And the genealogy research you have here in this library extends beyond the town of Shenandoah, it's the Shenandoah Valley in general?
Yeah, it does. Because, you're going to need the Shenandoah Valley in general for the, you know, the families that, you know, grew up here. So, yeah, I do take any kind of, you know, names that, you know, are prominent from the Shenandoah Valley, any kind of, you know, genealogy books.
If somebody wanted to donate items, how would they go about doing that?
They need to come to see me, and I do have paperwork. There's paperwork to either donate it or paperwork to loan. Because obviously, if you want it back, then, you know, you're welcome to have it back anytime you want it. So that's what we offer. If you want it to fill out the paperwork, and then we'll, you know, I put it out on the shelves.
Okay. What's the oldest item you've had here that's either on loan or...
Yeah, I would definitely say, and I don't know if you'll be able to see it in the camera, but there are some steamer trunks that we have, and they're well over, I know one of them is well over 150 years old.
Mm. And the steamer trunks, that's what held people's personal items when they were
in the trains. Right.
So even like their plates and cups and.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. What you've got December rolling around the corner. I like that. You've got some nostalgic charm and events happening. I want you to tell us more about those.
Yep. So I wear many hats for the small town. we have less than 2,500 people. So we don't have, you know, all the staff that bigger localities have. So not only am I the curator, but I also do all the town's events. So what I have planned, I've got two big things coming up for the town. We're going to have, actually, I should say three. So Santa Claus is coming to the museum.
Yes.
Yeah, on December the 7th.
I read a little something about that.
Yeah. So I had Santa here last year. Okay. And I mean, we had like 100 people in the day to come and see Santa. So I was like, well, Santa's going to have to come back again. So that'll be December the 7th, and we're going to have him come in from 10:30 to noon. Then we're going to let him have a break because, you know, Santa likes to eat pizza, so I'm going to get pizza for Santa. And then from 1 to 4, he'll be back on December the 7th. So I'm really excited about that because that is so cute to see the kids. And I have a great Santa. I mean, yeah, he just looks wonderful. So.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Will there be any kind of cookies and treats for people that stop by?
Yeah, last year Santa had some sweets for the kids. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then you have a couple other things I thought were really wonderful in terms of historic charm, and that's handbells, I believe.
Yes, on December the 9th, we have a church handbell team. They're actually from Elkton, so our neighbor to our south here. They are going to come, and they did last year as well. And we had 75 people last year that showed up to hear the handbell teams. And that's, you know, just... Yeah, you know, when you think about Christmas and you're thinking, you know, jingle bells and just, you know, some of the nostalgic things done in the past, you know, handbells definitely are part of that. And the neat connection is those handbells actually used to belong to a church here in the town of Shenandoah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they were donated to this Elkton church because that they had a bigger, you know, team and more people that wanted to learn, so they donated those handbells. So those handbells are actually coming home when they come here and play. So
that's great.
And that'll be at 6:30 on December the 9th.
All right. And then there's a big tree lighting.
Yes, that's always so much fun. On December the 14th at 6 o'clock is our town Christmas tree lighting, and we do get a real Christmas tree.
Okay.
Yeah, none of this fake stuff.
Not here in the town of Shenandoah.
That's right. Yeah, we have a real tree.
Okay.
And we have the Shenandoah Elementary School. They have a choir and a ukulele group. That's new this year.
Oh,
they
nice.
They have a new music teacher. And so she's asked if she could do the ukulele group.
Yeah.
And I was like, bring it. So we'll be able to go to Big Jim Park and we'll listen to them sing carols in the ukulele group. We have a Poppy's Coffee Camper, which they're local. They're town of Shenandoah. They're going to have free hot chocolate for everyone. And then they'll also sell other beverages, but the hot chocolate's free. We have the Boy Scout Troop 8. They're going to have marshmallows for marshmallow roasting.
Mm.
Yeah. And then Santa will come on a fire truck.
Okay.
And then everyone can line up and take pictures with Santa after he gets off the fire truck.
That is definitely one of the great things about life right there.
Yeah.
It is something super fun about a small town parade.
Yeah. 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 We have, it's lots of fun and just... You know, I love doing children's events. And they just, you could tell, like when Santa comes, oh my gosh. I'm like, and I have to warn them, please do not run in front of the fire truck. Please let the fire truck park before and let Santa come out. Don't attack a Santa, okay?
And how does that go?
Sometimes they listen to me.
We'll see how they do this year.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
All right, boys and girls, stay on the nice list and don't trample Santa.
Please, no.
The Big Jim Park is the same park that is dedicated after the gem that basically brought the railroad.
Right.
Here. So, wow, that's full circle right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's a 68-acre park. And like I said, that's where the Big Jim Furnace used to be. There, you won't be able to see anything from the Big Jim Furnace anymore, just pictures in the museum. But, yeah, we've turned that area into our park where we've got trails. There's a fishing pond, picnic shelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is open year-round?
Open year-round.
And this museum is open year-round,
too. Yeah, this museum is open year-round. We're open Monday through Saturdays. We have a little odd schedule. We open from 10 to noon, and then we close for lunch and lock the building from noon to 1, and then we're back open from 1 to 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be a town museum coordinator?
Oh yeah. Yeah, because I went to James Madison University. I majored in history.
That's right, we talked about that. Yeah. Go Dukes.
Go Dukes. And so when the I talked about the original curator, when she was retiring, they were like, "Laura, we know that you have this history background. Do you want to work at the museum?" I was like, "Yes." Yes. And I didn't even think about it. I just knew this is where I wanted to be because this, you know, I love history. I love it.
And you're in your town and it just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. And I kept the, you know, some of the other duties, you know, being the events coordinator. So I kept that, but they did have to get a new town clerk.
Okay. We can't do everything.
That's right.
Even though some of us are asked to do.
Yes. Other duties as assigned is what we always say here in the town.
For you, what is, so you studied history and now you have a job sharing history. What about history is so meaningful to you personally?
Yeah, I just love all aspects of U.S. history. I love to be able to share it. And, you know, I did teach for 5 years, I did get out of teaching. But I love to share history. I just love it.
Okay. What's your favorite historic period for yourself?
I love the Jazz Age and the Roaring Twenties. Yeah. I can see myself in the, you know, as being a flapper.
That would be a cool exhibit here, the Roaring Twenties in the town of Shenandoah.
Yeah. I don't know how roaring it would be, you know. We are in the Bible Belt.
Duly noted. What do you hope that visitors take away from their experience here at the museum?
Yeah, I'd like for them to, you know, be able to know a little bit more about the town of Shenandoah.
Yes.
You know, and make that connection of, you know, what we have and what we did, what we used to have, and just be able to even tell their friends, like, you know, come, go to the town of Shenandoah. Mm-hmm. You know, check out the museum, check out Big Jim Park. You know, just look, you know, go to some of our wonderful restaurants, and that's the big thing is, you know, to draw people here and maybe accidentally learn a little history.
Maybe accidentally. Yeah, what is closest to you here around the town of Shenandoah for people that live in the area or tourists, some different things they can see that maybe can make a day out of it?
Well, of course, the two biggest draws to Page County in general is Luray Caverns and the Shenandoah National Park. Here in our town, you have access to the Shenandoah River. We do have Shenandoah River Adventures. So they do the canoeing and kayaking, tubing. So those are like probably the three, the biggest draws that we have. It's all, outdoor, sports related by, hiking and everything in the park at Shenandoah National Park or, the river with the river rafting. But then you can also go into the caverns and see something unique and different.
That's good. That's right. We got, this is the podcast about all things non-hiking.
Yes.
The Shenandoah Valley. So I love that we focused on that. The Shenandoah River is what John Denver sang about.
That's right. Yeah.
Often confused as actual West Virginia.
Yes, I know. Oh, don't talk about that to people from West Virginia because they're like, that's our song. But it's really Western Virginia.
I know. I'm from Morgantown, West Virginia. I'm familiar with I'm familiar with this. And then I moved here and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's good for all of us. We were one big state, one
that's
big
right.
happy family at the beginning anyway.
Yeah, at the beginning.
Well, as we wrap up here, how best can the Laughers follow you all on social media or otherwise to get more information?
Sure. We, because the town owns the museum, we don't have a Town of Shenandoah social media account. We just have Town of Shenandoah. Mm-hmm. So we have Facebook, we have an Instagram account, or you can go on our website, townofshenandoah.com. And I, of course, put the events on the calendars. And then there's also a link to the museum. Mm-hmm. And you can see the video that I had done and that you'd watched before coming here. But yeah, everything, if you can find Town of Shenandoah, that's where you'll be able to find us.
That's really great. You plan to have events throughout the year as well.
Absolutely.
So they can follow you. And we'll be able to put all the information for you in the show notes as well. So if you're driving or working out, you can click on the episode description below and get all of that easy.
Yeah.
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 And conveniently. And thank you for joining us today, Laura, and talking with us about all things the Town of Shenandoah Museum and the events that are coming up. We look forward to all the other events that you'll be able to put on throughout 2025 and beyond. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today. Thanks again so much.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I'd love to promote this town. I love to promote this museum. And come on out.
Come on out, everybody. It'll be great. And thank you, Laughers, for tuning in today and spending time with us. We can't do this at all without you. We can't grow without you. And we just appreciate and love you so much. And if you enjoyed this podcast today, give it a like, a follow, tell, and share it with a friend. This is one of the many amazing places that you can enjoy here in the Shenandoah Valley. So don't miss out. We want to bring you more so that you can get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.